the budget of how much it's going to cost is very closely related to how long it's going to take. They're basically the same analysis because they're based on essentially three factors. Those three factors are the type of case that you have, and we'll come back and talk about each one of these in detail, how complex your case is, then how much conflict there is in your case. We've put together a formula based on those three factors, which you'll have to tell us either on the website or in a consult. And then from there, we can estimate how things are going to go.
Your hosts have earned a reputation as fierce and effective advocates inside and outside of the courtroom. Both partners are experienced trial attorneys who have been board certified in family law by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization.
Thanks for tuning into the For Better, Worse, or Divorce podcast, where we provide you tips and insights on how to navigate your divorce and child custody situations. I'm Brian Walters, one of the two managing partners here at Walters Gilbreth. I'm joined by Jake Gilbreth, managing partner at the firm, and we're going to discuss estimating cost and length, really, of your legal case. And we have a feature on our website that helps you do that. But we'll talk a little bit today about how we calculate those things. So just so you understand, the case budget calculator. So this is trying to get a dollar estimate to how much your case is going to cost. And then we also have a length estimator, because I don't know about you, Jake, but it seems like every single consultation I do, I get asked, how much is this going to cost and how long is it going to take? Which is totally rational thing to do. I'd be asking that if I was talking with a lawyer. Is that something you run across very often, by the way?
Absolutely. It's no different than if I was going to do a remodel on my house or build a pool or something. It seems like a logical question would be, how much does this cost and how much is it going to take? And Brian and I are both smiling, for those of y'all just listening, because not only do I get that question a lot, or I bring it up in the consult, I would say for folks that have talked to other law firms or other lawyers, what I always hear consistently from them is, I asked the other law firm or asked the other lawyer, and they wouldn't even give me an estimate. And they, all the clients I talk to, by the way, potential clients, they know it's an estimate. They know that it's just based on the information that we have right now. They know it may change. They know that stuff will come up, but it's shocking. But, well, it's not shocking anymore because it happens all the time, that everybody comes to us and says, I asked the other law firm, and they hemmed and they hawed, and they wouldn't tell me anything, and they wouldn't tell me any estimates at all or any ranges or what have you. And then people are kind of shocked when they see, not only do Brian and I regularly talk about that in consults, as well as the other partners at our firm talk about it in consults, but it's on our website. That's how important it is to us to have that discussion with clients.
Yeah, I agree. And as far as I can tell, we're the only divorce or family law firm in the state, maybe broader than that, but let me just say the state, that provides anything like that. And that link will be below in the show notes. So let me also say that before we begin, that the budget of how much it's going to cost is very closely related to how long it's going to take. They're basically the same analysis because they're based on essentially three factors. Those three factors are the type of case that you have, and we'll come back and talk about each one of these in detail, how complex your case is, then how much conflict there is in your case. We've put together a formula based on those three factors, which you'll have to tell us either on the website or in a consult. And then from there, we can estimate how things are going to go. So again, the type of case. So for example, is it a divorce with children or a divorce without children? Or is it just a modification? And the complexity, which is how many issues are there in your case and how complex are those issues? So for example, if you have a divorce and you guys just have, you know, a house and two 401ks and two cars to divide, it's all community property. That's probably low complexity and won't cost that much and take that long to deal with. But for example, if you have a very large family business, a lot of separate property, these kind of things, then those are much more complex and will take more time and money to get sorted out most of the time. And lastly, and probably the most important factor in the cost and complex and length of a case, is the conflict level. In other words, how much fighting is there going to be? You know, the Jeff Bezos divorce, the Bill Gates divorces could have been extraordinarily complex. Hundreds of billions of dollars at stake. They both were resolved quickly and quietly because they had low conflict. That overrode everything else. So anyway, let's talk about each one of those type of things. We break the case types into basically five types of cases. So there's a divorce with kids and a divorce without kids. There's original child custody case, so two parents who are not married and have it the first time they're in court. And then The fourth category is the modification of custody. This could be after a divorce or after just a regular child custody case. You know, 5 years afterwards, some issue comes up about custody or child support or something like that. And the last category is an enforcement where someone is being accused of or is violating a court order and somebody wants to punish them for that and make sure that doesn't happen again. There are different types of cases, appeals, you know, smaller things, but those are the big five. So, Jake, if you were to think about these type of cases, which one of those do you think would be sort of the most or the least expensive and lengthy to deal with?
Obviously, big caveat. Every single situation is different. I have the enforcements are your straightforward, particularly if it's child support or possession access and governed by Chapter 157 of the Family Code, because there's Family Code says those hearings can and probably should take place within 10 days of filing. Having said that, I have an enforcement that's very complex post-decree property issues, a dispute over what a partition agreement means, a partition agreement that probably could be clear and was not drafted by us. We weren't the lawyers on it, but we're litigating what it means. And obviously lots of funds at stake. And that one's taken, you know, quite a bit of time. That's probably though an enforcement usually going to be your straightforward because it's just a question of did or did not somebody violate the order. That's rarely in dispute whether or not they did it. And then are there any affirmative defenses and what's the remedy for it? That's going to be your most straightforward one typically. And then probably the most complex is usually going to be divorce with kids, but yeah, every single situation is different. I usually tell people in consults, you know, it depends on what you're fighting over and if you're fighting. You know, some people come to us and they have all their kid issues worked out, but they have some interesting complex divorce, maybe a business valuation or something like that. And then on the flip side, sometimes people have their property sorted out or there's nothing that difficult about the property, but they just fight like cats and dogs and the kids, or somebody does, right? Somebody's toxic on one side and their parents have to deal with it. And that can obviously drive up the cost. And then some people, it's property, it's kids, it's everything. A lot of times when you have a spouse with a mental health issue or somebody with we talked a lot about narcissists or borderline personality disorder on one side or both, you know, somebody that just sees conflict in everything, then those can be the most difficult, the most expensive, and, you know, frankly, require the best lawyers dealing with. And we've talked about that in prior series.
Yeah, I agree. And the second category is case complexity, which, you know, to some extent overlays the case type. And in our formula, we've sort of emphasized the case complexity a little more than the case type because of this. So, for example, by definition, a divorce with children, and I'm talking about children under the age of 18, is going to be more complex than the identical situation where they don't have kids. So if two people get divorced with a 16-year-old, that's always going to be more complex than they get divorced 4 years later when they have a 20-year-old who's, you know, no issues, because you're just required to put certain things into a divorce decree when you have minor children that you've got to negotiate and deal with. Child support, decision-making, visitation, even if you have it worked out, it's still more complex than if you otherwise would. We've got a special category of extremely high complexity. I passed over it very briefly, but Jake, what would you give as an example of some types of cases or maybe components of cases that tend to be very, very complex that are in that extra high level?
Business valuation, I think, on the property side, usually you're going to have a valuation dispute. Usually, if it's high complexity and a big dispute, you know, you can have absent maybe fraud claims and can dovetail into various reimbursement or waste claims. Those can be expensive and complex depending on the nature of the fraud or the legal remedies for the fraud. But really, it's going to be business valuations or property valuations and there's disputes on that, because you can have, I'd say, even sometimes good faith disputes that are drive numbers seven figures apart between the two sides. I mean, if you think about, for example, a separate property trace, which can be complex or complex work for the experts, ultimately a trace, kind of the math is what it is, or not even really math. It's just data entry, really. And it is what it is. And maybe somebody messed it up. And we've had those cases where the other side's experts messed it up and we've gone in and busted a trace. But a trace, it kind of is what it is, assuming everybody has the documents. But a business valuation, you could have one spouse's expert say the business is worth $10 million and the other spouse's expert say it's worth zero or $100,000. I mean, I've seen them, we've both seen them, seven, eight figures apart where the experts are. And that's, you know, that's complex. And, you know, frankly, probably worth having a discussion about, which may lead to litigation if you're $10 million apart or $5 million apart or even $500,000 apart. On the property side, that can be complex. On the child custody side, of course, you know, who has custody, that can make it very complex. But really, the most complex, I would think, if you're going to have the most complex would be either drugs or alcohol, dealing with addiction issues, or dealing with somebody trying to move. Those are both very difficult issues to deal with. And they, you know, frankly, push people to litigation. I mean, litigation makes things complex, but if one spouse has a drug or alcohol addiction or horrible personality disorder, I guess I'll throw in there as well, that's going to drive you to conflict. If somebody wants to move, that's frankly going to drive you to litigation, right? Because there's not really a middle ground. If wife wants to move to New York with the kids and husband wants everybody to stay in the Houston area, that's not really a compromise. You know, you can't pick a state in between. So those can be very complex and push you to court.
Yeah, I agree. So, and then the last factor, which again, I think is the most important, is the level of conflict. So basically, how much fighting is there going to be? And I think it's both the most difficult, it's the most important, but also the most difficult to predict for a couple of reasons. One is that it's a moving target. You may have a case that, to me, that's the issue, is that you may have a case that starts out as high complexity, another one that then 6 months into it, everybody just sits down and works things out. It is also, I think, difficult to predict how much conflict there's going to be. And I think sometimes, especially the person beginning a divorce, I think will often underestimate the amount of conflict. The person who's already gone through the mental process of exiting the relationship is thinking like, oh, I'm past it. You know, now let's just divide everything and go our separate ways. Well, the person who's being left behind, usually there is somebody who's quicker to exit than the other. The person who's left behind may not see it that way. And so that may cause conflict. So what are your thoughts? And by the way, in defense of the lawyers who won't give you any information about expense or length of time, that's probably their biggest concern, is we don't know how much conflict there's going to be. But, you know, we can talk about it. We can get an estimate. And I will often have folks come in and say, you know, I think it'll be low conflict, and tell them, well, you might be in for an unpleasant surprise. So what has your experience been with trying to guesstimate the conflict level?
I'm like you. I can usually tell either by what the potential client's telling me his or her position is, or as they're describing their spouse. And I get it. We always want to encourage people to try to remain low conflict and tell people routinely in consults, some of my most complex, difficult cases, if there's a good lawyer on the other side, a lot of times we'll go to mediation right away to try to head off what could potentially be a really high conflict, high complexity case, and let's try and nip it in the bud. All good lawyers are going to try to keep your case low conflict. There's just some that's just not going to happen, or you have strong feelings that that's not going to happen, either because of the complexity, right? There's just not a middle ground that can be readily ascertained. Or you can start to pick up on the personality disorders. You can start to pick up that the other side is just going to be entrenched, or the way that they've conducted themselves through the marriage, you can kind of tell how they're going to behave through the litigation. I think I've mentioned in prior episodes, but when I was a young associate and when I was working for Jim Piper, who works with us now, Jim used to always tell people, you know, why would you expect your spouse to behave differently in the divorce than he or she behaved during your marriage? And that's often the case, right? So you start hearing those stories of conflict or people being entrenched or maybe having a bit of a personality disorder or see the world only their ways. You can kind of see that that's, or sometimes you can tell with the lawyer on the other side, frankly, you know, you can tell, I know this lawyer, he or she tends to try to keep their cases low conflict. Unfortunately, there's sometimes you see the lawyer on the other side and you can just tell it's going to be high conflict. That's unfortunate because we shouldn't be a factor in driving conflict, but sometimes particular lawyers are. So that's, you know, all information. Why it's important to both use the case calculator, case cost calculator, which I think is really helpful and it's a good starting point. But really that initial consult with me or Brian or one of our partners, I think really will add to it and help us drill down to really get that more accurate, still an estimate, but more accurate estimate for you when you're deciding what to do moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, before we wrap up, let's just kind of give some ranges here, since we're talking about how we're giving numbers. I mean, my experience with the cost of things is the simplest case that everybody's agreed you know, low complexity, simple type of case, you know, with a competent lawyer, even in those cases, I think it's difficult to do it for $2,500. I don't really know how you do that. You have to pay a filing fee. You know, the other side typically is going to get a lawyer and they're going to have edits or something. So to me, it's probably $5,000 is on the very lowest end of the simplest cases. What about the lowest time frame? If on the simplest case, how long would we, do you think we'd be looking at time-wise from the time someone hires us to the time when the judge says, all right, approved, you're done, I'm assigned your order.
Yeah, if it's a divorce, the minimum is going to be 60 days, except for on the rarest of exceptions. The family code provides that there's a protective order, then you can do it in less than 60 days. But really, it's going to be 60 days for a divorce. And that's, you know, everybody's talked about it. You know, we're on the same page, or we're going to get there really quickly. That's usually the quickest on a divorce. And it's kind of the gold standard when people come in and say, we're all agreed, everything's worked out. I tell people that's the gold standard. If you can get it all worked out, get something signed and filed of what the agreement is before the 60th day, you've got a divorce decree drafted, ready to go, ready to get signed by a judge after what we call a prove up. Child custody cases, you know, you can agreed right away. That's usually going to be when people have discussed it, worked through it with therapy or co-parenting counseling or something, and they're coming in saying, this is what we're doing, and we just need the lawyers sort of help drafting it. Then that can be done in a month or less. Pretty rare, but certainly doable. And like I said, we want to encourage people to be low conflict. A lot of times it's not an option, or they're coming to us because it was started low conflict and now it's gotten complex and they're coming to us. But that's going to be your basic, simple, we're coming in basically drafting paperwork or helping a little bit with a little bit of advice and guiding people to a quick settlement.
Right. And then sort of the midpoint, I mean, again, it varies a lot, but a medium complexity case, medium conflict, you know, let's say, that type of case, in my experience, is probably the cost is probably going to be somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000. There's probably going to be some points of conflict, maybe higher than that, but depending, you know, on a divorce with kids, for example, it might be higher than that. That's been my experience with it. What are your thoughts about the time frame that we'd be looking at for a medium complexity, medium conflict type case?
The way I describe those usually, I tell people, let's say both sides have lawyers, and let's say they both have good lawyers, and there's an exchange of information because we're not totally on the same page of what we all have. We don't totally have the same information. So you go through a little bit of discovery, a little bit of back and forth, maybe get a house appraised or something, and then go to mediation. Typically, depending on the county that you're in, you're looking around 3 to 6 months, maybe a little bit longer, depending on schedules and mediator schedules and stuff. Typically 3 to 6 months, maybe up to 9 months, just depending on what needs to be appraised or information exchanged. But that's kind of a low-key, moderate-key divorce. Same for child custody, right? If there's a little bit of discovery back and forth, you know, then pulling out calendars and going to mediation, that's the time frame that you're looking
at. Yeah, I agree. And I should be clear about the cost estimate. What I'm talking about here and what's on our website would be one side's cost, not the total cost. And then let's talk about the worst case scenario. You know, everything's just on fire. A divorce with kids, you know, there's a custody battle, there's some mental health issues, maybe on one side, substance abuse on the other. You've got a business to value, hard feelings, high emotions, all of that type of stuff. My experience is you're starting at $100,000 per side and probably going to go higher than that, potentially much higher than that if the fire doesn't go out and the conflict doesn't go down. My experience with it, that's unfortunate. It's a small percentage of cases, but they're out there. And those are, I think, most rational people would like to avoid, but sometimes circumstances find people in those situations for whatever reason. What about time frame for something like that, like a really, really complex, difficult divorce with kids?
Well, and it depends on your county, but also, you know, as far as the really high conflict ones, going to court probably is not going to take that long because you're probably going to be in there on temporary orders. And remember, those are the orders that are in place while a case is pending. And you'll probably be taking multiple trips down there on discovery disputes or things that come up or what have you. So when and a lot of times it's driven by, you know, substance abuse or a personality disorder. Sometimes it's just, you know, a good faith dispute over the value of a business or something. But a lot of times, you know, somebody's dealing with a spouse with a personality disorder and you're just back and back and back to court. So those can take well over a year easily, even in kind of the more rapid moving counties in the state. A really complex divorce with kid issues and stuff could easily take over a year. Sometimes it's just weighing on the experts and the business valuations. You know, we hire the best experts in the state on our cases, We know who they are. We work with them. We encourage our clients to hire them. But part of being the best is means that you have multiple cases that the experts are dealing with. So a lot of times the lawyers are waiting. You know, maybe there's a kid stuff going on while the case is pending, but we really can't get the divorce resolved until the experts come back with their valuations, which could or could not lead into a whole different mess of worms, depending on what the experts say. So well over a year. And I guess it's important to point out when, you know, we say numbers like 100,000 and over a year and stuff like that, that's really not to give everybody a heart attack. That's just to let people know that that's out there and no different than a remodel or, you know, getting something fixed or if your AC goes out, somebody needs to tell you what it is. You don't want your AC repairman or woman coming in and saying, hey, you know, this is, don't worry, I'll be done, have it replaced tomorrow, it'll be $500. And then 3 weeks later, you're still waiting on it to get repaired and it's a $10,000 bill. That sounds like a good way to have an unhappy consumer. Our experience is that people want to be told, frankly, what it could be. Again, estimate. And hopefully when we do the gloom and doom and say it could be over 100,000, it could be over a year, hopefully that's not your situation. But we do need to have those conversations.
Absolutely. And it's interesting when you tell people that, kind of the bad news, and give them numbers, a lot of them are like, you know, okay, it's actually less bad than many of them had thought it might be. There are a lot of horror stories out there, some of them true, that make people think it's going to be, you know, something out of, you know, War of the Roses, out of a movie or something. And most of them are not. So.
Yeah, I would say all things with coming to divorce or child custody or really the legal scenario, it's my observation is that it's really anxiety producing, understandably so. And a lot of it's because either you don't know what's going on, it's your first divorce, your first child custody case, and a lot of times that's combined with Googling and reading horror stories. And just anytime my child has a medical condition, I Google every single thing that it could possibly be. And of course, I locate the most dire, horrible things it could be, which produces a great deal of anxiety. And then when you talk to the doctor, when she sort of goes through what it's going to be and what it looks like, knowing kind of what it looks like in the future, getting a prediction, but knowing can really help with anxiety. So it goes back to kind of how we started the episode, right, Brian? When these clients can tell when you're avoiding the question, we're not as talented as we think we are, avoiding the question or giving some spin on it. They want to know what our opinion is on it. And if I give you a vague answer or a non-committal answer or no answer, that's worse. That sounds way worse to me than somebody actually telling me what it could be.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, that's all we have for today. If you like what you've heard today, do us a favor and leave us a review. We appreciate any feedback that you give us because it helps us make the podcast better. If you have any questions, reach out to us at podcast@waltersgilbreth.com. I'm Brian Walters, joined by my law partner, Jay Gilbreth. Thanks for listening.
For information about the topics covered in today's episode and more, you can visit our website at waltersgilbreth.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of For Better, Worse, or Divorce, where we post new episodes every first and third Wednesday. Do you have a topic you want discussed or a question for our hosts? Email us at podcast@waltersgilbreth.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time.